Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned off the seatbelt sign and you are free to move around the cabin. I'd like to remind you though, for your safety, please keep your seatbelt fastened whenever you do remain in your seat.
Non-Rev Lounge is an airline employee travel and aviation podcast. Monique and Tyler are a brother and sister combo that discuss our non-rev travels as well as having guests on to share their trips and tips.
Welcome to show number 3. So this is a show of first because we had a lot of first things that we did in this last week that we're going to talk about. We flew 737 MAX. That was the first time for me and Monique and a few other things we did. So we're pretty excited to get into that.
Yeah, and it's also our first guest this week. So we're excited to have Tim with us today. We'll have him chat with us and we'll talk about a trip we took where we took 4 flights in 28-hour period. But Tim with us, he is an aviation photographer and he's got 2 accounts with some really sweet stuff on it. You want to check those out? They're on Instagram at JetSetAZTim. Is that the easiest way to find you, Tim?
Yeah, that would be the easiest. And then right. I link an account. It's like other photography stuff and that's in the bio on my Instagram. But yeah, best way to get through to me is JetSetAZTim.
All right, perfect. And we'll set some links up on our social media things so they can find you as well. All right, so Tim, how long have you worked in the airline industry?
Perfect. So I've been in the industry for 13 years, 13 and a half. I got my start in April of 2007 as a ramp agent here in Phoenix for Mesa Air, which at the time contracted for U.S. Airways Express for U.S. Airways regional flights.
So you're just doing the little guys?
First, what was it? It was around the first 7 years. Yeah, I did that. But I started as a ramp agent and then I worked my way up to operations, helped out around the station here in Phoenix, and then became a baggage lead. And then when I left that job, Piedmont Airlines had taken over the contract of U.S. Airways Express. And then I was doing uniform office before I'd left for my current position at another major airline here in Phoenix.
So I worked on the ramp in Phoenix with Express, I was with Piedmont. And by that point, the Dashes had already left.
Okay.
Did you get to work with the Dashes when you were there?
I did, yeah. When I first started, we got to work on the CRJ-200s, the 900s, the Dash 8s, and the Beechcraft 1900. But I think like after 6 months of me being there personally, I think the Beechcrafts have gone away along with those routes. We weren't doing too many routes with those anyway. I think they were doing like up and down to Farmington and Prescott, Kingman. I remember Lake Havasu in there. But
oh, wow.
I think after six months, they had done away with the beach crafts. We were just 200s and the 900s.
Nice.
All right, very cool. So
both you guys started at Express and then moved on to mainline carriers. How long have you worked for your mainline carrier then, Tim?
I'm right now at 6.5 years. I got my start in June of 2014.
Nice. So you've been there for a couple of years then.
And again, I started out as a ramp agent. I did that for a couple of years. Yeah, I've got a few years under my belt.
So the way that you and I met was through aviation photography, taking pictures. We both were big into that. And we both became friends with it and we've traveled together. We went to LA back in September and spent a couple of days taking pictures there. How did you get into doing that?
In high school, I did photography in high school. And this was like 2003. We were doing black and white darkroom photography, if there's anybody old enough to remember that. But I got really interested into that. I've kind of always been like an artsy person, but like I could never like draw or I was never musically inclined. But photography just kind of, I don't know, it kind of felt like you can never do wrong with photography. So I was really into that in high school. And then I left and then I graduated in 2004. And then up until like, I want to say last year, I've been really wanting to get back into photography. So I ended up going out and buying my first DSLR camera at Costco.
Oh, nice.
And, I started playing around with that. I figure, you know, I'm working a lot. I'm at the airport a lot. I mean, why not take pictures of airplanes?
Yeah. Well,
you know, it just grew from there.
Everyone needs to go look at his stuff because Tim has some really good pictures. I know that before I didn't have a camera. I used to use my cell phone and I used to look at his stuff. And then once I got it, I would ask you, where are you taking this picture from? And how are you doing this? And so I kind of, my accounts that I have, I kind of base them off how you did your stuff. So yeah, you have some really good stuff.
Thank you.
So is there any planes that you want to take pictures of? Do you have like a bucket? I have a bucket list of ones that I want to see. Do you have something that you want to see?
I don't necessarily have like a bucket list, but Orange Pride one. I believe it's a 777.
Yeah, from KLM.
Yeah, KLM, and that's something I've been wanting to see forever.
Yeah, that's on my list too. As if you had the chance to fly on that one or get a really amazing picture of it, what would you rather do?
I'd rather get an amazing picture of it
than be able to say you flew on it.
I think I'd have a better chance at photographing it than I would have to ride it. You know, I don't. I've only flown KLM once, and I don't get over to Amsterdam or the Netherlands all too that often.
Yeah, it's tough because I think I'd love the amazing picture of it, but also to be able to say I've flown on some of these ones, these special liveries. Like I still want to fly on the Star Wars one, the United Star Wars one, before they get rid of it.
Right.
So
yeah, Tim, what's the longest flight you've ever been on?
Longest flight. That's a tough one. It's a toss up between KLM's Amsterdam to San Francisco flight. I think that was 10 or 11 hours. Or I've done Delta's Tokyo Narita to Detroit. That was pretty close to 11 and a half, 12 hours. I mean, I think they were kind of equally distant. But I mean, those are the two longest flights I've done, I could say.
So those two flights, were they Zed fares that you took?
Oh yeah, both of them were Zed.
Monique, do you want to explain what a Zed fare is? Because we have people that don't have flight benefits that do listen. So let's explain what a Zed fare is.
Yeah, so a Zed fare is where you can fly on another airline that isn't yours for a discounted price. It's still standby, but you pay a little fee to fly on them.
Yeah. How often do you do that, Tim?
Usually if I go international, I'll Zed fare, and that's maybe once a year. But I think if you go back to like around this time last year, I think I've Zed fared three times. I think twice on American and once on Sun Country.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so I took three or four Zed fares this year. Sometimes it's just a way to get home because you're stuck. So it's nice that they have that option. And other times it was going to be the better option. My airline flew it, but it was going to get me where I needed to go at a better time. So you use that when you fly internationally because places the year airline doesn't fly that route.
Right.
So I believe you, I know a little bit, your flight from Detroit to Narita, was that on a 350?
The other way around, Narita to Detroit.
Oh, backwards.
Yeah, I was on the 350. I was going from Narita to Detroit.
So what was your experience on that? Because neither of us have ever been on a 350 before.
It's a fun plane to fly on. Really quiet, very spacious. Delta had mood lighting pretty much the whole flight. It was really comfortable. When I sat down, I guess it was my lucky day that me and my seatmate, I guess she had a window, I had the aisle, and the middle was completely left open. So I guess it was both our lucky day to kind of spread out a little bit, you know, without bother the middle seat, you know.
Oh, that's nice.
But all in all, you know, Delta has a great product, that A350. It's amazing what they do.
Yeah, I got to go on the 350, one of Delta's a few weeks ago when it was in town. They let me go up and walk through it. It's really nice in there.
Is it really beautiful?
3-4-3 configuration in the back, or how big is it?
I think it's 3-4-3, and I flew economy.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think it's a 3-4-3 combo in the back.
We're gonna do a lightning round so that we all can get to know Tim. The first question is, Tim, what is your favorite airplane to fly on?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I just like getting on an airplane. It's fun. But the Airbus 350 was really fun to fly on coming back from Japan.
Nice. So do you have one that you want to fly on that maybe you haven't yet?
You know, the 747 is pretty much out of service. It was pretty much gone from passenger service, unfortunately. That was kind of a bucket list thing to do there. And along with the A380, I mean, we're not going to see a whole lot of those anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, I think on both of those, we're going to have to, like, make a effort. I mean, there's so few, you've got to fly on a certain route. I mean, so I think those are two That's the same with me in the 340. So
exactly, yeah. And I wouldn't mind doing the 340 too. I mean, there's a lot of the older airplanes out there that I still wouldn't mind getting on and doing a flying on. But you know, I wouldn't mind doing the A350 again. That was one of my favorites.
Ah, very cool.
All right, Tim, do you have a go-to destination or someplace you just always like to travel to?
Las Vegas. I've been going there since I started working for the airline industry. It's a 45-minute hop from Phoenix, and I like going out there. San Diego is also a good one. I like sitting at the beach.
Vegas definitely does have its own crowd.
Yeah, Vegas mostly. Exactly.
You can spot them walking down the concourse.
But I would definitely say Vegas first, San Diego second.
Do you have family in Vegas? Is that one of the reasons, or do you just like to go and see the city and do the stuff?
No family. I just go because I like doing my own thing up.
For both, probably me and Monique, it's to Salt Lake is ours because we have family there. So fly to Salt Lake.
Right.
You do a day trip, you can go for the weekend.
I've been wanting to do a Salt Lake day trip for a while. It's been maybe about 10 years since I've last been.
Yeah, we need to go up in
Salt Lake's a fun town.
We need to go up, but they have a whole new terminal there, a whole airport basically. It's brand new, so there's different views there.
And I'd love to see that. I hear good things about that, new terminal. And
so, as a traveler, are you someone that's spontaneous, or do you plan everything out ahead of time?
If I'm doing like a short haul trip, I can probably spontaneously plan it out within, you know, from I don't know a week down to, I don't know, a couple of days. But for, you know, longer haul trips, I mean, that obviously takes planning.
Yeah.
You know, kind of coordinating days off with work and whatnot. But it just kind of depends on the trip.
I've traveled some people that they could just say, I'm going to this destination, and they don't plan anything. They have no hotels, no rooms, nothing. And
I can't do that. Okay. I got to have some kind of plan like that.
Yeah, I'm on the other end. I would get it from my mom. And she plans everything out. And so I wish sometimes I could be more spontaneous where we could just, you know, we're going here. And Monique and I have been to Hawaii so much that now we don't plan it. We're going to Hawaii. And when we get there, we've done it so many times that it's not really, it's done. So.
Hey, do you remember your very first non-rev trip you took?
I do. I actually, it was shortly after I got hired at Mesa. I just decided to do a random day trip to Vegas. First time, printed up my boarding pass. I remember not getting a seat number. So I asked the ticket agent, like, hey, what's up? I don't have a seat number on my boarding pass here. So she takes my ticket and she looks at my reservation. Sir, you're an employee. You get standby travel. So if there's a seat available, you get it. But yeah, you have to wait for all the other passengers to board first. I was young and 21 at the time, so I didn't know any better.
A little bit of a learning curve.
It was definitely a learning curve. It's a learning curve for sure, yes. But yeah, day trip to Vegas was my first trip as a non-rev.
Were you still in training or had you completed training?
I believe I was out of training. I waited maybe about 4 months, 5 months after I had gotten hired on and decided to go and do that before I, you know.
Well, there was a girl in my new hire class or reservations that was ballsy enough to go non-rev in training over to Europe over Thanksgiving.
Did she get back? Fine. Do you remember?
Yeah, I believe she got back in time. That wasn't an issue, but I just remember being like, I was too afraid to even go to Salt Lake, and she was going out of the country clear to Europe.
Had she had benefits before?
I don't think she'd had benefits before, wow. But I could be wrong.
She probably did.
Just winging it. I don't know.
Well, it worked out for her.
That's pretty ballsy to go over Thanksgiving of all holidays, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, was this
Mexico? It was like, yeah, it was somewhere over in Europe.
This was 5,000. This is 5,000 miles away. This is a 5,000 mile trip. You know, you don't go over just Thanksgiving.
And usually, yeah. When you're first hired, you don't get the Zed fares for like 6 months. So, I mean, you were back on your airline, and that was your only option.
Right.
Did it.
Did you get this airline job for the benefits or just to be around planes? What was your...
Or was because the pay was so good?
I was 21 at the time, and I was working as a security guard at Target. I think Mesa was running hiring commercials at the time. This was like 2007, but I think my dad had seen a commercial and he was telling me, it's like, hey, you should apply at this place. I didn't really think much of it. I'm like, you know, I mean, it beats retail. So, I mean, you know, what's the worst that could happen? They don't hire me.
Did you know that they had flight benefits, or was that not something that was like a big deal at first?
It's something that wasn't a big deal at first. It honestly didn't come across my mind.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I applied, I got the job, like, went to the interview, I got the job like a day later, and you know, 13 years later, I'm still doing it.
Yeah, that's what for me, I knew that they had the benefits and the whole training every day. I was just like, tell me about the benefits. That's what it was a second job. Had another job, I made a little bit more money, so it was just different. But now that you're into it, you're an aviation guy.
The thing is, you know, after 13 years, I just can't go back to doing, you know, an office job or retail or fast food. It's just like, this is really stuck with me. And I, you know, if I were to lose this job, you know, I don't know what else I would do, but I mean, fingers crossed, you know, I stick with it, you know, because this is something I want to, you know, I want to do.
Yeah. Have you ever flown somewhere just to eat?
Yeah, I've done Santa Barbara. That was always a fun day trip among us over at Mesa.
But, anywhere, place in particular in Santa Barbara, like restaurant that you, if we go there, you got to try?
So when, this was years ago, but when Santa Barbara had their old terminal, I mean, this was a really old school terminal, but you basically, you know, you had to walk out to the plane. You had no jetways like they do now. It's not like, there's not a big terminal, but when they had the old terminal there, they had a little cafe. I remember getting like I think it was like a little sirloin strip with eggs and hash browns, but that always stuck with me. That was a really good meal. It was reasonably priced and it was definitely worth going, you know?
Just right in the airport?
Yeah, this was right at the airport, but I don't know if they have that anymore, that little cafe.
Oh, okay.
Because this was years ago. I think this was like back in 2013 or now.
Oh, Monique, have you flown somewhere for food? Just for food?
I don't know if it's just for food. Well, I've gone to Austin and I've gone with a list because we've got a cousin who lives out in Austin. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm here. I need to eat this place and this place and this place. Torchy's is always on my list. I need Torchy's.
Yeah,
that's and good. I want Gordo's. At least those are the two main ones I can think of.
Nice. That's what, there's a place in Seattle that I've gone to Seattle just for chowder at Pike's place. So to me, that's worth a day trip to just to have a nice lunch.
That's definitely worth a day trip. I've done that a couple times for clam chowder. It's really good.
And just to get out of Phoenix in the summer too, because we both work outside. Like,
right. I haven't been to Seattle in a few years, but man, I would definitely travel for some clam chowder.
I was just gonna say, Tim, is there some place that you wish your airline flew to from Phoenix nonstop?
I would say Canada. Yeah, anywhere in Canada. I mean, I think we do some good business, especially getting some of the Canadian traffic down here to Phoenix. I mean, we get a lot of the snowbirds that come down for the winter. I think we would do well, but you know, WestJet owns that has that market, you know, so they do pretty well. But I don't know. I would like to see a Vancouver to Phoenix or Edmonton, Calgary to Phoenix.
I think we would like ours back. Do we have any Canada right now?
If they are, they're not mainline.
WestJet and Air Canada kind of.
I wouldn't be surprised if we pulled the trigger here soon.
Well, like our airline to fly to Santiago. that I also think we should have just a fleet of Dreamliners.
Just in general, like for
just
our.
In general, that's my dream.
For our Phoenix to Salt Lake route that we fly a lot, you want to own the lay flats on the Dreamliners?
Yes, let's do the Dreamliner for that hour flight.
Oh, perfect. So the other day when we were, I was telling you about the podcast, you told me that you had a good story to share. So we're excited to hear your story.
Back in 2018, I think it was like April 2013, me and one of my coworkers wanted to go to Dublin. So we flew from Phoenix with a stop in Philadelphia to Dublin overnight. We did like 3 days out there. We had a great time. We saw, I think the first thing we saw when we got there, we wanted to go to St. James Gate. And if you're a beer drinker, that's basically the front of the Guinness Brewery. So we got to do the tour there.
Nice.
We did, you know, we did the Jameson Distillery tour, and the old, yes, we did. We went to the, I forgot what they call it, but you do the tour of Guinness, and then at the end, you get to sit up at the top of the lounge. They give you a free beer that had just been brewed. So it was like 10 o'clock in the morning. We're drinking beer on top of the, in the sky bar, looking over downtown Dublin. It was awesome. And we did like, you know, we did the Jameson Distillery. I know we did a little hiking north of Dublin, like along the Irish Sea. That was beautiful. But I think it was 3 days out there, and it was a fun 3 days. We ate, me and my buddy ate, we drank. It was great.
Was 3 days enough? Or do you, if someone's going to go to Dublin, is 3 days enough, or do they need more?
I want to say 3 days is enough. If you're looking to see all of Ireland, I mean, yeah, give Dublin 3 days, but then, you know, we didn't do what we know. That's all we did.
Was okay.
But, yeah, I definitely give Dublin 3 days to see it all.
I've done it 3 days. I think three was a good amount for Dublin too.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It definitely was. I haven't seen the rest of Ireland yet, but hopefully soon, you know, with all this COVID stuff going on, and hopefully I can get back there soon to see other things.
Yeah, I want to go there too.
On that trip, coming back, we were flying to Philly on US Airways. That was our benefits at the time. So we flew to, you know, we were supposed to go to Philly. All is going normal. We get cleared. We get our seats. So, you know, we're just sitting in our seats. We're waiting for pushback to come. We're kind of looking at the time, and it's like, oh, well, I think the flight was supposed to leave at like 11:15 or something local time there. And then all of a sudden we see maintenance come on, and, you know, you never want to see maintenance come on the plane for any reason, big or small issue.
No.
No. Especially if you're overseas. You're 5,000 miles from home. You don't want to see it. So 20 minutes goes by. Captain gets on. He gets on and says, major hydraulic issue. We're going to deboard everybody. Everybody has to come off. We're going to have you wait in the boarding area. Okay. So probably going to miss our connecting flight from Philly to Phoenix. But, you know, that's kind of like the last thing we were thinking of. So 2 hours goes by in the boarding area. I think me and my buddy go up and ask, you know, hey, what's going on? You know, is there any updates? Like, I think they knew we were employees, but they were like, I mean, don't say anything yet, but like, this flight's going to cancel. They can't get this hydraulics issue fixed. It's just, my heart dropped.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, what? Yeah. And then like 5 minutes later, the gate agents go on PA and they announce that the flight cancels. And they send everybody down to like the baggage claim area, because I guess that's where their resolution or customer service desk was. So me and my buddy get in this long, long line. And we finally get up to the customer service desk. They look up our reservation. Oh, you guys are non-revs. You guys are employees. You're on your own. And we didn't know any better at that time.
Yeah.
Like, you're on your own. We can't help you. We're like, oh man, this isn't good. So I think we sat down in baggage. We kind of talked it out, like, what do we want to do? And I think my friend came up and was like, oh, is there any airline that can get us somewhere? So I think we spent like, another 10 or 15 minutes looking at things. So we were able to log on to the Zedfare website that we used at the time.
Yeah.
And we were able to get a flight from Dublin to Frankfurt on Lufthansa like 5 hours later, like later that night. And fortunately enough, we were able to go over to Lufthansa. They cleared us at the ticket counter for our seats, so we were able to go through security, get tickets. And so we flew to Frankfurt, Germany, and that was a A321. That was great. That was a great experience. You know, that was really cool. I think it was like an hour and a half flight, but they fed us like sandwiches, and it was actually a really good sandwich and
nice
free alcohol. So my buddy got like this, I mean, he didn't get a can of beer. Like he got this 24 ounce beer bottle.
For like an hour and a half
German
flight.
Beer for an hour and a half flight. And they served it to them German style. I guess it's warm. I don't, but we were able to go to Germany. Once we got to Germany, it was like 9 p.m. at night. US Airways had a flight the next morning at like 11. So we're out of money. You know, we spent all our money in Ireland that we budgeted, and we camped out in Frankfurt Airport for 14 hours overnight just to get on a flight the next day. But it was a long night. None of us slept. We were just kind of messing, you know, we just sat around. We walked around the airport. It's a big airport. It really is.
Nice.
I remember getting questioned by messing around on the internet. We got questioned by the German police there. I was like, what are you guys doing? Let's see your passports, yada, yada, yada. But nothing really came of that. So, but next day we were able to get on a Airbus 330 back home from Frankfurt to, it was Philadelphia. And then we got to Philadelphia. The flight had filled up from Philly to Phoenix.
Of course.
And I think that was the last one of the night, too.
Oh, man.
So at this point, me and my buddy, we're just kind of like, what else could go wrong? You know, it's obvious the world didn't want us to get home. It was frustrating, but it's just kind of like, you know, if it happens, it happens. If we don't get on, whatever, you know, we'll explore our options. But fortunate enough, I think me and my buddy were like one of the last ones on the plane when we got cleared up. I guess a couple people hadn't shown up.
Oh, perfect.
Right. And then I remember taking my seat. We're pushing back. I start having a coughing fit. So I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, I hope I did not catch anything while I was overseas. Like, I start this coughing fit, and for 5 hours I'm coughing, and like one of the, like, this old lady that sat next to me, she just handed me like a couple cough drops. It's like, hey, take a couple of these, you know.
You can always count on old ladies to have cough drops.
Right.
Imagine if that happened now, people would look at you like you were the devil coughing on a plane. With COVID nowadays?
Like, what? Yeah, they look at me with the COVID, you know?
So did you miss work?
Yeah, that's...
Did you end up, guys end up missing work, or were you end up being okay?
No, and actually we budgeted a couple extra days off past that, and it was a good thing, because the jet lag actually stuck with me, I think, for at least a week.
Trying to get
just
back.
Just being on different time. Yeah, yeah, trying to get back on, you know, Arizona time from Dublin time, you know. I remember the jet lag was miserable.
I know when you have the situations like that where you're in a somewhere like Dublin and all of a sudden the flight's going to cancel, even if the next day looked good, all those people are going to get put on the next day's flight. I mean, they're going to try to get them out on other airlines, but you got to get out of that city, because that city is like done. Like, you're not going to get out for days.
Exactly.
So.
You know, you're not getting... You're not going to get out today. You're not going to get out tomorrow. You may not get out for a couple of days, you know? So
yeah,
I definitely learned that you need, you know, as a non-ref traveler, you need to have your plan B, plan C, D through Z.
Yeah.
Plan it out. And the good thing about, you know, Z tickets are, they're refundable. So you can book the tickets. And if you don't use the segment, all you got to do is submit a request and your money's back in your account.
Get the money back, yeah. And you got to fly on a new airline.
Right.
And you got a sandwich and beer, so.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, see, with COVID right now, you're not even getting almost a water with an hour and a half flight.
Oh, I know. And that was kind of funny when we did that Miami flight last week. They, you know, when we were heading back home to Phoenix, you know, the flight attendants, you know, they gave us the little bag of water, Biscoff, and a little... Was it
a little sandy wipe?
Yeah. But I remember looking at that bottle. It was like a 5 ounce bottle. I'm like, this isn't gonna last 5 hours. And I'd feel bad as I'd feel incredibly bad for the flight attendants to ask for another one.
The airline we flew back on, they don't do it under certain hours, certain miles. Is it? It's only for those longer flights, and still it's
per mile.
So let's get into that. So last week the three of us flew. Like Monique said at the beginning, we flew four flights. Well, Monique and I flew four and you flew three in the 28 hours, because Monique and I got a chance to fly on the MAX. So we flew a Neo, a 321 Neo to LA. Monique and I got to fly up in first class, but a flight to Miami to LA from Phoenix is nice, but nothing too crazy because it's only like an hour long flight.
Yeah, it was an hour long flight. I mean, it was just like any other flight.
Up and down.
I got a window seat.
Yeah.
Up and down, yeah.
But the reason that I wanted to do that, that we chose that for, is because the next flight was on a 777-300, and I've flown on a 777-300, but I've never flown in first class, and that's what we were hoping for. And Monique and I were able to get cleared and upgraded, and we both got first class. And Monique, you've flown on first class before, right?
Yeah, I've done it a couple times.
So that was my first time. And I've been in business class. And Tim, you got to fly in business class. How was that?
Yeah, American did a great job, you know, with the whole COVID situation. I thought the service was great. I had great flight attendants. I was able to get a couple hours of sleep. Meal service was good. Drink service was great for business class. But overall, it was a positive experience going from LA to Miami.
That was your first lay flat experience, correct?
Yeah, it was. And for our first experience, I'm glad it was for a flight that long.
Yeah.
And for, you know, that time frame, because it definitely came in handy to at least kill a few hours and, you know, sleep, because I knew it was going to be a long day for doing what we were doing.
Hit the ground running, yeah.
Pretty much, yeah, we did that.
Yeah, so I, like I said, I've been in business class on that flight, and I've been now in first class, and first class was nice. I'm not sure it was so much nicer, because it was a little bit more leg room, like when you're laying flat. What are the difference, Monique, does first class have over the business class seats?
I think the size is a big thing, because it isn't a cubicle kind of thing, so there's a kind of a desk area. I think the desk area is a little bit bigger. I think your seats are a little bit wider, maybe not a ton, but a little bit.
The seats in the first class will rotate a little bit, right? Because they'll rotate from like a forward to the desk.
Correct. So you can sit forward for takeoff and landing, but if you wanted to turn the seat all the way, I think 90 degrees, it will go so it can turn. So you could put a laptop up there and sit and work right there at a desk if you wanted to.
Yeah. So it was nice. I'm glad that we did it. For me, that's what I wanted, to have that experience so I could say I've done it. I wish it was a longer flight, but it's still, like Tim said, it was perfect for a red eye that you're going to want to hit the ground running. So yeah, that was fun. And then what did you want to get
into? Well, it was nice that our flight attendant was also a comedian. He was throwing out jokes left and right. So that was nice. Purser John, he did a great job.
The guy next to me asked if he could get a drink, and the flight attendant said, no, I'll get the drink for you. He thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, he was funny.
So one of the main reasons that we did this trip was because our airline was flying a flight for employees on the 737 MAX. And when I saw that they were going to offer that, just to get the confidence back of the employees, because employees have to be on it, I said, I want to go do that. And so the 737 MAX has been grounded for just over 20 months, right? And it just came back this last month, or last few weeks, that they ungrounded the FAA. And so the first scheduled, I think American has the first scheduled flight on the 29th of this month, even though there's other airlines. Is it Gol, G-O-L? How do you pronounce that airline?
Yeah, Gol.
So they've already been flying it in the States. I saw that they flew it into Miami with customers on it already, so people in the States could have already flown on it since it's been back. But our airline offered this flight, and so I wanted to do it. Monique, when I told you I want to go to Miami to fly on a 737 MAX, what were your thoughts? Did you have any worries?
No, I'm not worried about flying on the MAX.
What about you, Tim? You've flown on the MAX before, right?
I flew on the MAX before the grounding, and I did it for a short flight. It was between like Orange County to Phoenix, but I believe I flew that even before those two crashes in what was it, Indonesia, and I forgot what country it was in Africa, but I flew those. I never had an issue. I mean, I felt safe. It was comfortable, quiet.
So what about now? What are your thoughts now that it's back? Are you willing to fly on it? Are you worried about it all? Or any second thoughts about?
No. If I was offered to fly it tomorrow, I would. I mean, you got to understand, the plane was grounded for 20 months. It went under a tremendous amount of scrutiny, and no plane has gone through this in the history of aviation. I mean, this has got to be the safest plane in the skies coming up here. And I have no reservations about, you know, taken a flight. You know, if my airline offered a flight tomorrow, I mean, just like what you guys did, my name would be first on the sign up sheet. I would definitely do it. And I know other people would do the same thing.
Yeah, that's what for me, I feel like if our pilots are willing to take it up, then I'm willing to go on it. I didn't have any worries. And being that the 37 from our airline, it'll come to Phoenix, I'm sure, but it won't. It's not going to be based here. And so it was a chance to go fly it. But yeah, I think in the future, it's going to replace the normal 737s, the MAXes. And so if you want to fly domestically, it's going to be hard to avoid it. I mean, in reality, it's going to be hard to get around.
Well, and honestly, coming from like a non-aviation geek, like just a normal non-rev, I feel like when you get on it, it looks exactly the same as the new 737s. It didn't look
exactly
really any different. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, what was nice is they did have plugs and a USB port, so you can be double charged while you're flying, but it was nice, but it felt just like any other regular plane to me.
Yeah, it was a little bit quieter, and it was, I mean, the inside, you could tell it was a brand new plane. Because just looking at the windows, I was able to take pictures through the window where a lot of times the windows are, on these older planes, are a little bit dirtier. They're just not as you don't have that like brand new. So you could tell it's a new plane. So one nice thing that I thought when we were on the MAX is when we had the experience and we're on it, the pilots that were the pilots of that flight for us, the employees, they said that they were the ones that worked closely with Boeing to make sure that they were confident in the changes that had been done. So it was nice to hear them kind of explain a little bit of the process for me. Did you feel that way, Monique?
Yeah, he made a point to stress that the pilots were very well trained on the MAX now.
Yeah, so that was just kind of nice to, I mean, that was the reason, I guess, for the flight, is to make sure that the employees that were going to be working the flight and around the flight had a confidence in the aircraft. So do you guys...
From his speech.
Yeah. So do you guys think that the general public is going to really know? I mean, at first, it's going to be out there and the airlines are going to say, you know, you were booked on it, but we'll change you. But do you guys, two different perspectives a little bit. Monique's a gate agent and Tim and I are rampers board or into aviation. Do we really think that the general public is going to, for like the next year, year and a half, they're going to really care? Or some people will, but for the most part, it's just going to be another airplane they get on.
It's just going to be another airplane. They're not going to have any clue really what they're flying on. They still don't now. So,
you think that for the most part, an airplane's an airplane. If they heard the name MAX, they'd be a little apprehensive.
Yeah, they barely know what airline they're flying on. So they're not going to know whether it's what type of aircraft.
What do you think, Tim? What are your thoughts?
I mean, nowadays, when you go to book your flights, most of the time, when you go through the booking process online, it clearly tells you what kind of aircraft you're flying. There's going to be people who want, who think it's just another airplane. They don't know much about it, whatever. And then, there's those that would be eager to fly and jump on it. And then there's always those that are still apprehensive about it.
Yeah, I think the airlines are going to make sure they're very transparent. I mean, just so that someone doesn't freak out later on when they're like, oh, I was on it. But it seems like Ryanair, they kind of said they were just going to cut the whole name MAX out and not ever say it and not bring it up, but just kind of have it be a... But I feel like the airlines in the States it's not going to be a hidden thing. I mean, if people want to know. But I also see Monique's perspective, like there's people that don't even know what airline they're on. I mean, if they connect changing airlines, they just kind of happen to show up at the gate. And so, but I also think there's going to be people that are going to be asking, is this a MAX? They're saying, no, it's a 777. Well, is it a MAX? No. So
no, not at all.
I think some people, Monique's going to get some of those. She'll see and be like, oh, yeah, we heard it was back.
A baby bus. And they're going to be like, but is this the MAX? And I'll be like, no, it's not even the same kind of brand or whatever. I'm like, plus your basic economy, just sit down.
So that was an enjoyable, I enjoyed that. I mean, it was a nice plane. So on the way home from this trip that we took, we flew on another 737 back to Phoenix. And Monique and I got first class and Tim was in the back. But talking to Monique later, she said she may have chose differently.
Yeah, well, I made the mistake. There were like 100 seats in the back. So I could have had my own row in the back. But I thought, no, I'll do first. My seat will be a little bigger. probably I should be a little more comfortable, but it was so cold on the plane. I froze and I had my hoodie over and my jacket on. And then also I was in the front row of the plane. So the light in the galley was on, pinging me right in the face the whole time. So it was hard to sleep and I was tired and freezing. So I wished I would have just went to the back and laid down and curled up in a ball.
Yeah. So this was a lead into our next segment. I was going to do would you rather and ask both of you, would you rather? So assuming that the first class on a domestic, not lay flat, just normal domestic first class, doesn't have a meal service, like they don't anymore. For both of you, would you rather, Monique said, would you rather lay in the back, like have your own row in the back, or still sit up in first class on one of these kind of late night, no meal service flights? Monique said first class. What about you, Tim?
Well, let me ask you this. Am I sitting next to someone in first class, or do I have my own row?
Let's say your own row.
Your own row. But it's like the hard sides first class. So it's not like you can lay down. And so you have a little bit
more room.
But you still, you're sitting up because that's the way the seats are made. But if you're in first class,
if there's no drink service, there's no meal service, and there was 100 seats in the back open and I had my own row, I'll take my own row in the back.
Yeah, if there was drink service, that may be different. I know that I don't drink, but if there's drink service, then that could be enough to say.
It probably wouldn't sway me to sit up front. If I can sit in the back, if I sit in the back and I have my own row, and if I chose the layout, then yeah, I'd probably 9 times out of 10, I'd choose the back with my own row.
Yeah. If they have the meal service and the drinks, it changes things a lot. But all right.
Absolutely.
To the next one. So here's a scenario. You have to fly across the country. Your airline doesn't fly the route. So either you're going to zip fare on one of the main carriers that you could possibly get upgraded to, like a Comfort Plus or a main cabin extra. Mm-hmm. You know, it's wide open. So you get on, or for the same price, you can get a guaranteed seat on a Spirit or Frontier. Do you fly Spirit or Frontier and get the guaranteed seat, or fly on Delta, American, United, you knowing it's open, so the Zed, so the same price. Which one do you guys take?
I would Zed.
I'm going Zed.
Even though knowing it's open, but things can close.
I'll take my chances. I'll take my chances on the Zed fare all day.
I've never flown on Spirit. Have you flown on Spirit? That's the one that I think of, those like seats that people say are hard.
Well, I think you have to pay for everything. Like, I think you have to pay to print out a boarding pass. You have to pay for any kind of carry on. Like, I don't know all the rules, but I feel like from what I've heard, you pay
So with the Zed fare, like if you do fly, like say Spirit or Frontier, and there is baggage fees, I mean, you tell the customer service agent, you show them your ID. I've heard of them waiving fees, you know.
Oh, nice.
But
that's good to know.
I mean, pretty much any airline you use Zed fare on, if you're flying on a Zed, I mean, pretty much all baggage fees are waived. I mean, to a certain extent.
Yeah, so the Zed fare one, but if you're paying for one of those low-cost carriers, you're also going to be paying for, if you have a bag, you're going to be paying for...
You're paying for the drink. Pass. You're paying for to bring a boarding pass. You're paying for everything.
To use the restroom.
I'm taking my chances with those.
At least they wanted to, yeah.
Is that a thing in Europe? I've heard of airlines trying to charge for the lav. That's something I'm going to have to look up after
this.
Yeah,
we'll have to look up and see.
We'll have to do that for another podcast.
Well, good. Well, those are fun. All right, so at the end of our shows, one thing we like to do is leave a tip or some advice from the things that we've talked about during the show. And Tim, you already did this earlier when you talked about your trip to Dublin and making sure you have those backup routes. Do you have another tip or something that from what we've said today to kind of leave?
If you're abroad, I mean, know what major carriers fly into what cities, because that'll help you out. That'll definitely help you out in the decision-making of, trying to work your way around Zed fares and whatnot. You know your hubs, know your airlines, where they go. But like you touched on earlier with the whole Dublin situation, definitely have your plan A through Z, because anything can go wrong at any time. Nothing's guaranteed when you're non-revving.
Yeah, it's even if you're, I'm sure the flight, I'm guessing the flight from Dublin looked good until it canceled, but so it's nice to make sure in the back of your head.
We had seats on that plane. We were sitting down ready to go.
Yeah, you had no reason to not.
We had no reason to believe that maintenance was getting on that aircraft. It was an afterthought until we saw them.
All right. Monique, do you have one?
Yeah, my tip would be that if it is completely empty in the back and you know you're going to get your own row, go sit in the back, curl up in a ball, and go to sleep.
Nice. Yeah, if it's open and you can just get some good rest. And I think mine would be, so this trip we did was my first time in a lounge, and it was nice and quiet. And so if you can get access to it, and Monique and I have found a way to get cards that would let us to. So if you get a chance, try out the lounges, and that would be my advice or tip for people. That was fun, and I'm looking forward to traveling again and using that again. Well, Tim, thank you for coming on. Now you need to go out and have another big trip somewhere, so big experience, so you can come on again and share it with us. So thanks for joining us and being on our show.
Hey, thanks for having me, you too. It was real fun. Hopefully we'll do it again soon.
Yeah, we will. And make sure you go check out Tim's photography at Jet Set Tim, AZ Tim. Is that right?
That's right. Jet Set AZ Tim, all word on Instagram. And then I got a second account. It's in my profile on the main account. So
non-aviation stuff is really good too. So yeah, go check that out. And we will have links on our Instagram page on Twitter over to that Instagram page. So go check that out. So he's got really good photography and really good stuff. Monique was going to make a joke because you have this big, beautiful lens, and that's like my next big purchase is I want to copy you. But she didn't want it to make it too inappropriate that your lens is so big. But no, yeah,
I'm
go
sure
check it.
That. I'm sure I could take that joke.
go check out Tim's stuff. It really is good. And we'll look forward to having you on again.
Yeah, next week we get to talk to our mom. And she is kind of crazy, but in a good way. So it's fun to talk to her. You guys will enjoy listening to her.
Yeah, it's going to be a good show. She's been non-reveling as long as I have. Thanks to everyone for listening to our show. Please subscribe if you haven't so you can make sure you get it. And hopefully you noticed that Monique got a new mic, so it should be a little bit clearer. And
yeah, now I don't sound like I'm at the bottom of a swimming pool.
So we're getting better, hopefully. So thanks for everyone for your support. And see you next week.
All right. Peace out. Bye.